Are you now or have you ever been afraid? Thank you. Don't lie to me. Maybe not right now. Maybe that's stretching it. I don't know that you'd have a lot to be afraid of, but it's possible wandering into church on an Easter Sunday morning that you might have some fear. If you've ever been afraid, this might be the place for you. I always thought Easter was about death and resurrection. I thought death was the final enemy that was conquered on this day. Turns out I've been wrong about a few things. I read today's story with the word fear jumping out at me 3 or 4 times in the course of 10 short verses. I thought, what's going on here? So I thought I'd give you Matthew's gospel as told by fear. It won't take that long, but it's 28 chapters long. How much fear do you think is in there? Just enough, really. And where do you think it starts? How about at the very beginning? An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Chapter 1. After the genealogy and so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, this is about the first word spoken in Matthew's gospel. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. When King Herod heard of this, he was frightened. And not only him, but all of Jerusalem with him. But he, Joseph, was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee, where he settled with his family, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Now we got grown-up Jesus in a boat talking to his disciples. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? So have no fear of them. Do not fear those who can kill the body. Rather, fear him who can destroy the soul. And as if he wants to put the fear of God in you, he says, be afraid of these people. But then he says, just kidding. Guess what? Be not afraid. He ends that verse. All of that, oh, you got to be afraid because God can kill your soul. Just kidding. Be not afraid. For God knows that you are of more value than the sparrows. Be not afraid. Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd. They saw him walking on the sea and they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost and they cried out. And Jesus spoke and said, take heart, do not be afraid. Shortly after that, Peter gets out of the boat. You might remember that story. He starts walking on the water until he noticed the strong wind. He became, guess what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. At this point, we're in the middle of the gospel, and it's the transfiguration story. They've gone up a mountain. Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to tell you something about this story right here, the Transfiguration. In the Orthodox tradition, the Eastern Church, there's one holiday that's more important than Christmas and Easter put together. You know what it is? It's Transfiguration Sunday. They read this story and they think it's all there. Everything we need to know about God and Jesus Christ is right there in the Transfiguration. And today I can read this one verse and think they might be right. Listen to this. Jesus came. That's Christmas, right? The whole Christmas narrative in two words. Jesus came and touched them, the incarnation. The word became flesh. You could feel it. He came, he touched them, saying, again, the word, the teachings, every sermon he ever said, right here in one word. Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up. It's Easter. We had Christmas with Jesus came. We have Easter with get up and do not be afraid. Everything's right there in one verse. That's in chapter 17. Back to our story, told by fear. The chief priests and the elders said, we are afraid of the crowds. This is a recurring theme, by the way. Herod was afraid of the crowds. The chief priests and the elders are afraid of the crowds. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. In chapter 25, this is the only one that occurs in a parable, a story that Jesus told. This one says, the main character in this parable says, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. For another day, that would be a great Easter sermon too, wouldn't it? I went and hid your talent in the ground. It has potential. Chapter 27. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. And then today's story. Four times fear occurs in these 10 short verses of the resurrection. For fear of him, the angel of the Lord, the guards shook and became like dead men. We know this truth, that the dead shall rise and have new life. But did you know that those who are afraid will become like dead men? But the angel said to the woman, to the women, sorry, do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, for he has been raised. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Then Jesus said to them, help me out here, do not be afraid. The Gospel of Matthew as told by fear, right there. From chapter 1, do not be afraid, to chapter 28, do not be afraid. I wonder what the gospel is about. Do not be afraid. I wonder what Easter is about. Do not be afraid. I woke up this morning with four really confessions of faith that I just knew were true. See if you think I'm right. There's no I in team. There's no crying in baseball. There's no beer in heaven. There's no fear in faith. Turns out I might have been wrong about some things. I really thought that it was about having no fear. But then I read that Easter story more carefully, and I realized that in spite of all of those admonitions to be not afraid, and there are a lot of them. Do you know how many there are? I haven't actually counted them, but somebody told me there's 360 be not afraids in the whole Bible. That's one a day for the human being. That's for your daily diet. The Bible gives you one a day. Do not be afraid. And in spite of all of that, In spite of being told, warned by the angels, the angel of the Lord, do not be afraid. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. Every angel of the Lord has a message, and that's more often than not the message we get. Do not be afraid. Well, so what do? They leave the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. What's new today is not the fear, is not the absence of fear. What's new today is that fear has a running partner, great joy. Here's an unlikely odd couple. They've hooked up for who knows how long. Maybe they bought a condo together and they're going to share a few wonderful years on the beach. Fear and great joy. Where do you go with those two? What can you do with fear and great joy? To be clear, I should have said this earlier, that I'm not talking about scaredy cat fear here. I'm not talking about I'm scared of spiders or bees or I'm scared of the dark. I'm scared of thunderstorms. I might be scared of some of those things, by the way. I'm talking about the kind of fear that builds a wall around your heart. And I'm guessing when I opened my sermon and said, are you now or have you ever been afraid? You might have been able to tap into that. Oh, I wonder if he means that. Being afraid to speak your truth because what it might do to you, your relationships. Being afraid to be alone because you may not like the company you keep. Being afraid of silence. Being afraid of death. There's a lot of fear out there. No wonder there's 360, be not afraid. Because that fear that builds a wall around your heart is insidious. It's subversive. It's dangerous. It gets in the way of us. It ruins relationships. It leads to really bad decisions. I've made a few. I can speak with authority on this. Fear is not a good motivating factor. So when I say that today Easter is about fear more than it's about death, where's the promise? Where's the resurrection? Where's the word of hope? I think the word is great joy. Fear's new running partner. The two left the tomb quickly, together, in every person of faith who has ever lived, fear and great joy. Fear because we can't escape it. It's been with us from the day of our birth. It'll probably be with us until the day we die. But the great joy is the ticket. It's the antidote to fear. And it's this promise of new life that we celebrate on Easter that gives us that great source of joy. So that fear is going to be with us. I was wrong about that. There's no fear in faith. There's a lot of faithful people in here who are afraid. Some for good reason, some not so much. But sometimes faith in the face of fear means going anyway. Sometimes the motivation, the kick we need in our step comes from great joy. That's the gift of God on this Easter Sunday. Thanks be to God. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come. follow me.